Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I am Harsh Singh and in this audio we will discuss intentional fallacy. Now what is intentional fallacy? Intentional fallacy is the error of criticizing and judging a work of literature by attempting to assess what the writer's intention was and whether or not he has fulfilled it rather than concentrating on the work itself. So in one line, this is what intentional fallacy is. And modern criticism since the 1920s has tended to the point of view that anything except the work itself is irrelevant. So even trying to know the intention of the author is irrelevant. And this point of view is especially noticeable in the criticism of I.A. Richards as well as T.S. Eliot and also of the American New Critics. And in 1946, W.K. Wimsatt, in collaboration with Munro Beardsley, okay, Wimsatt and Beardsley, these two published an essay called The Intentional Fallacy, which was also reprinted in their work called The Verbal Icon. Okay, The Verbal Icon. And in this essay, they express the point of view that a poem is, quote, is not the critic's own and not the author's. It is detached from the author at birth and goes about the world beyond his power to intend about it or control it. The poem belongs to the public, unquote. So this is what Wimsatt says about the intentional fallacy. However, Wimsatt's arguments have often also been disputed. Some of the new critics, for instance, Cleanth Brooks and John Crow Ransom, refer to a total intention, okay, total intention, within quotes, total intention, meaning the total meaning or organization of a work. Now, another related term is affective fallacy, okay, AFFECTIVE, affective fallacy. And even this term was coined by Wimsatt and Beardsley in their work called The Verbal Icon, okay, which came out in 1954. And how do these two define affective fallacy? As a confusion between the poem and its result, what it is and what it does. Okay, it is said to be a critical error, okay, affective fallacy. Affective fallacy is said to be a critical error of evaluating a work of art in terms of its results in the mind of the audience. So let's take an example that if a reader were to conclude that Edmund Spenser's poem, Fairy Queen, induces in the reader a sense of hatred towards Protestantism, so we should judge the work of Edmund Spenser on the reaction of the audience. That will be an example of effective fallacy. So two things you should distinguish. One is intentional fallacy, trying to judge the merit of a piece of literature by what the intention of the author was, or let's say trying to find out the intention of the author who wrote the particular literary work. That is going to be a intentional fallacy. Effective fallacy is trying to judge the merit of a piece of literature by the effect it has on the audience. That will be a effective fallacy. And both of these words or phrases have been coined by Wimsatt and Beardsley in The Verbal Icon. So from an exam point of view, you should know the difference between these two. After that, who coined these terms and the name of the work when it was first published. And if possible, also remember the year of publication of this work, The Verbal Icon, because from an exam point of view, they can ask questions on any of this.